Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I want to talk with you today about warnings. If you look for just a moment in Revelation chapter 9, you have a description of horrible judgments coming on the earth, terrible consequences, massive death. In Revelation 9, beginning in verse 18, it says, "A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts." What is wrong with those people? I mean, why in the world, when you see all this judgment and a third of humanity is killed, why would there not be repentance? Most of us in this room yesterday went into the beautiful Great Smoky Mountains National Park. What a beautiful place. What a wonderful experience. Chick-fil-A food waiting for us at the picnic pavilion down at Metcalf Bottoms. But how many of you were delayed in getting there, even though you left in plenty of time to get there? Let me see your hands if you were delayed. Oh, just about everybody who went. What in the world happened? Well, there was a tractor-trailer truck that had tried to go up into the park, apparently. Now, I'm going to ask Mr. Germain to be prepared to put a little picture on the screen, because people who get stuck in campers and tractor trailers on that road almost always say the same thing. And that is, "Well, they need to put a sign back there." Mr. Germain, what is the first sign that people see when they come off? Oh, let's see what it says there. It says, "No RVs, buses, trucks, trailers ahead, 1.5 miles. There it is. Gives you a mile and a half. You got other turns you can make. You got places you can turn around. Turn around! What is it called when you know you're going the wrong way and you turn around? That's called repentance. Repentance. Also called sanity, but repentance, okay? Now, what if you miss that sign? You know, maybe just glance down for a minute at his sandwich. Let's see if there's another sign. Oh, no RVs, buses, trucks, trailers ahead, 1 mile. So half a mile later, they've got another sign. And then just in case you're thinking, "Well, my GPS says I can go this way." Don't follow GPS. Third sign. No RVs, buses, trucks, trailers ahead, half a mile. Don't follow GPS. What was this guy doing? Well, it's possible that like many people, He didn't even notice the warning signs. You understand? He just didn't notice. He thought, like person after person after person, they ought to put a sign back there. They did. Three of them. You ignored them all. There is another category of driver, however. Some of you may identify with this. Well, I know it said that, but I want to go there. See, they saw the sign, but they thought that the sign was there to inconvenience them. They thought they were being robbed of the opportunity to do something wonderful, explore our national parks. They thought that, yeah, they say don't do it, but I want to do it. And so even though they saw the warning, they decided to ignore the warning and keep on going because they felt that that didn't really apply to them. They shouldn't have to obey it. Why is that sign there? Why was the first sign on Lime Springs Road? Why was the second sign there? Why was the third sign there? Those signs were there to protect everybody, including the poor fellow who got stuck up the hill, not able to go further, and having to try and back down when he didn't even know how to drive forward, apparently. But I'll tell you something. We look at a person like that, stuck, because they ignored the warnings and were determined to do what they wanted to do, and we say, what a bozo. Why? Well, because it turns out when we do the wrong thing, it doesn't just impact us. You understand? When we ignore warnings, we suffer, but so do others. All of us in this room have experienced painful, difficult things because of somebody else's mistake. So what do? Well, we blame them for all our problems. No. Because the problem is, we're like them. We do that too. How did all this start? Well, you know the story. There was this lovely couple. His name was Adam. Her name was Eve. Life was good. They ran around with no clothes on. Nobody cared. There was no embarrassment. Just all kinds of food to eat. They could eat the fruit from this tree, this tree, this tree, this tree, this tree, this tree. All these trees, it's all available to them. But there was this one tree in the middle of the garden that God had said, do not eat the fruit of that tree, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Everything's going beautifully. It's all good. Not a lot of rules to follow. Just don't eat the fruit of that tree. It's good. Life is good. But there was a serpent in the garden, the tempter, who said, did God really say you can't eat the fruit of any of these trees? And Eve, not realizing that it's unwise to have a conversation with a snake, Eve said, no, God didn't say we can't eat the fruit of any of the trees. It's just this one tree that we're not supposed to eat from. In fact, Adam says we're not even supposed to touch it because if we do, we'll die. The serpent said, you will not die. God just knows that if you eat the fruit of that tree, you'll be like him. You'll know good and evil. And Eve looked at it And she thought, well, it looks good. And it's been a few minutes since I ate something, so it's desirable for food. And it'll make me wise. Okay. She took a bite of the fruit and she didn't immediately fall on the ground dead. So she gave some to her husband who was there with her. That's what it says. He should have told her, get away from that snake. Get away. But you see, the snake looked really good. It was the most beautiful creature in the garden. Satan can look really good. Temptation can look really tempting. And so Adam took what she offered, and he took a bite too. And then they noticed something they'd never been bothered by before. We don't have any clothes on. That's where that started. And so they made clothes for themselves out of plant leaves. And while they're trying out their new wardrobe, they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. And so they tried to hide. You see, spiritually, they were already dead. Everything had changed. They were made for fellowship with God, but now they're afraid of God. They're running the other way. That's what happens when we know we've done wrong. Shame, guilt, fear, and blame shifting. Because when they hid, of course you can't really hide from God. God knows everything. But God, knowing not only where they were and what they'd done, but knowing that they needed, as we do, to confess to him, God said, where are you, Adam? God started asking questions, giving the man an opportunity to talk with him instead of the snake, giving the man the opportunity to tell the truth instead of lies. He said, where are you, Adam? Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was naked, so I hid myself. God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from? And Adam said, yes, I have. No, he didn't say that. What did he say? The woman that you gave me, she gave me some of the fruit. In other words, hey, I may have eaten some of the fruit, but it's not my fault, really. It's the woman who got me to do it. And you're the one who gave me the woman. That's human nature. That's what we do. That's why a guy passes three signs and then says, well, they ought to put a sign up back there. Why is he saying that? Because, yeah, I know I'm in the wrong place. I did the wrong thing, but it's not my fault. I was just going by my GPS. The sign said, don't follow your GPS twice. Well, but I'm used to following my GPS. You know what we're used to following? Our own desires. If you think that you can just follow your inner compass, just, you know, that inner light that guides me. Satan often comes robed as an angel of light. Doesn't always look like a snake. Sometimes he looks like a religious figure. Sometimes he looks like a friend. But all of us have a sin nature that points us over and over in the wrong direction. And yet, we have a tendency to want to follow our own desires. And when we do, it does not turn out well.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, whether you're just not paying attention to the signs, or whether you see the signs and think, well, I don't have to obey that, you're making a big mistake. You're headed for disaster. And all of us are guilty of doing that sometimes. It turns out the warning was there to protect us. God is not out to get us. He's not looking for an opportunity to mess up your life. God has all power, and if he wanted to destroy us, we would already be destroyed. Do you understand? I have marveled at times at the fact God didn't kill me. I really have. I've shared this story before. I'd just come back from being out in California where I'd seen God doing amazing things through what was called the Jesus People movement. And I came back and I went over to my neighbor's house and I'm telling him what a great time I had in California. I saw God move and I learned how to body surf. It was really cool. It was great. But I'm glad to be back home. And there was this 10-year-old kid named Bruce that I'd never seen before, and he was hanging out in the room while I'm trying to talk to my buds. And I thought, what is he doing here? Does he not understand that we are not his peers? Okay, he's only 10. Why should we have to put up with him breathing the same air? Okay, he's a kid. We're teens. I was so stupid. Here I've seen God at work, and I was a Christian. And when I wondered why that kid was there, the Holy Spirit said, share the gospel with him. And I thought, I don't want to talk to him. He shouldn't be in here. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to talk to him. I disobeyed God. I flat out disobeyed God. I ignored the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I continued my conversation with my friends. I ignored Bruce, and I went home feeling good about myself. That night, when I knelt to pray, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and instead of repenting, I offered God a deal. If you still want me to talk to him, then he's got to already be there when I go down to the Barkers tomorrow. The Barkers were my neighbor where I'd been that day. They were the hangout for the whole neighborhood because they had 8 kids. That meant there was always somebody in the Barker family who was your age. Okay? So I said, he's got to already be there. And I'm not going to start a conversation with him. He's going to have to speak to me first. And I'm not going to turn the conversation towards spiritual things. He'll have to do that. So I got up the next morning pretty early, and I went down to the Barkers, and they weren't even up yet. But Bruce was sitting on their back step, and as I walked into view, he said, Hey, Jim, how are you? That's two of the conditions I had placed on God. He's there first. He started the conversation. So I said, fine, how are you? And we talked. And after a while, as we're sitting there chatting, one of the Barker kids came out, hopped on a mini bike. And Bruce looked up at me. We're sitting on a little stone wall right across from the back door waiting for my friends to come out. And he said, have you ever had a mini bike? And I said, yes. Yes, I have. In fact, I've got a picture. He looked at it, and I guess he wasn't overwhelmed because he changed the subject. He said, I'm sorry to change the subject. He really said that, a 10-year-old. I'm sorry to change the subject, but how can I be born again? You could have pushed me over with a feather. I was shocked, and I was convicted. And I asked the Lord, I said, I'll answer that in a moment. And I prayed. And I said, God, please forgive me. And I almost started crying because I thought how utterly wicked and stupid I am in my flesh. And how amazing that God didn't kill me when I was on my knees praying that stupid prayer. And how amazing that God would give me the privilege of sharing the gospel with Bruce, even though I had acted like such an idiot. And so I asked him to forgive me, and I asked him to help me as I shared the gospel with Bruce. And you know what? Bruce got saved. Because God saved him. Because God had decided to save him. Before he made the world, God had already chosen that little boy, and he had already decided that he was going to draw that boy to himself, and he was willing to use Balaam's donkey to speak the word. Folks, let me tell you something. If God wanted to destroy us, we'd be destroyed. We would be destroyed. In Isaiah chapter 37, one angel killed 185,000 soldiers in one night. In one night. Now you do the math and figure out how many soldiers died per minute during that night. Wow. That's fast. That's one angel. That's one angel. God is not out to get you. God is offering you eternal life, and he is telling you, repent. Repent. Don't ignore the warnings. Don't ignore the warnings. The warnings are there to protect you. If you say, well, it's my life, I can do what I want, you're going to be destroyed and you're going to hurt other people along the way. Is that really what you want? Well, I feel like God's mean. If God was mean, you wouldn't be here. My parents would have found a pile of ash at the foot of the bed where I was kneeling to pray. If God was out to get you, you'd be God. But God is offering forgiveness, life, while you have the opportunity, repent and believe the good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.